Dear students, it is time to focus on short-term investments. Get them out of the way. They're not that sophisticated, pretty darn straightforward. And then, in the future, when we need an investment for the short term, we'll know where to go. When we need something that's not going to lose its value, that we can't afford to gamble with, we'll know where to go. So to review, on slide 55, what are short-term investments? Well, another name for them is short-term vehicles. Sometimes people call them short-term instruments. But the most popular name is cash. Do you have your money in the market, in stocks? No, I got it in cash. Well, they don't really have cash sitting under their mattress. They've put it into a bank, at a credit union, or maybe a money market mutual fund at their mutual fund company or brokerage firm company. The idea is that you're going to park this money for, 3 months, 6 months, a year, some people longer, 2-3 years, depending on how important this money is. Is this for the down payment on your home or college expenses? Yes, you don't want to be gambling with those kinds of items. We find that these are usually guaranteed or pretty darn close. Yes, we're not going to lose money. They're extremely liquid. And since there's a very low risk of losing money, right, you understand that they are very low reward instruments. We're not going to make much money with these things. And we use the amount 2-5%, but they haven't paid anywhere close to 5% for a long time. For many years since the Great Recession, they were paying close to zero, or sometimes they were paying zero. And hard to believe. But just recently, last year or so, and a half, about a year and a half or so, the Federal Reserve Bank has started to raise short-term interest rates using the power of the Federal Reserve. And these short-term instruments have finally begun to respond. Although some banks are still paying close to zero, if you do your due diligence, do a little bit of research, you'll find CDs and money markets that are paying significantly more than 0.1%, which was typical during the time after the Great Recession. So as we said, it's a place to park your money. And we also use this for an emergency fund. Now, we'll have a little discussion of the emergency fund later on, but this is something more from Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. So let's start walking through the various options. Slide 56. But first, how do we earn interest? Well, the most common form of interest that we're used to, savings accounts and the like, CDs, money markets, is the stated rate of interest, the nominal rate. You buy a CD, invest in a CD, or put your money in a savings account, or invest in money markets, and they'll tell you it's paying 1%, 2%. But once you move into the world of treasury bills and corporate paper, then what happens is you learn about the discount basis. This is the method of earning interest on a security by purchasing it at a price below its redemption value. And the difference is the interest earned. The interest accrues on the investment. And it's a little tricky, but once you see it, you go, oh, okay, I can figure this out. For example, today you buy a security, a treasury bill or a corporate paper, for $4,800. And in 9 months, you're going to receive $5,000. Your interest would be $200. You see that? And as the security gets closer and closer to the date of maturity, the value of the security, the value of the short-term instrument, will rise. The interest will accrue. That's how treasury bills, that's how corporate paper, bankers' acceptance notes work. So it's fairly straightforward once you see it. And there's a short-term investments example presentation where you will see this in action with an entity, a mutual fund company, that needs to go out and buy almost $4.5 billion worth of short-term investments. So slide 57, what are the risks of short-term investments? Well, we often call these risk-free, but that's not true. I mean, there's always a risk with every investment. Now, are you going to lose your money? Is there a risk of default? No. It's often guaranteed or pretty darn close. In fact, the one example that's not guaranteed are the money market mutual funds. But when the organic matter hits the ventilating device, as it has in the past, there's always been somebody come to the rescue to make sure that these things did not lose money. But does that mean they are risk-free? No, there are other risks involved. You can lose purchasing power. You can lose to inflation. It's called purchasing power risk or inflation risk. And lost opportunity cost. I know opportunity cost is a bit of a tricky concept to get your arms around, but the economists love to discuss opportunity costs. And so what does this mean? This means unless your time horizon is very short, which is why we call these short-term investments, there are several investment alternatives that are going to do better than short-term investments over the long term, assuming the world doesn't end. So yes, there's no risk of default, but you could lose to inflation, you can lose purchasing power, basically the same idea, or if you have a long-term horizon, there are better choices for you. You can have lost opportunity costs if you stick with the short-term investments. So, repeat after me. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a risk-free investment. As a risk-free investment. All investments have advantages. All investments have disadvantages. Right. We're going to learn this over and over and over again. So now let's get into some of the nitty-gritty about different types of short-term investments. Deposit accounts, savings accounts. You know, some people still call them passbook savings accounts, although it's very rare. Although I've seen credit unions and banks still have these little things that look like a passport, and you bring it in there and they stamp it, and it's pretty old school, folks. Now it's all electronic now. At a credit union, legally they're not savings accounts; they're called share accounts, but they're the same thing. They basically work the exact same way. In fact, when you walk into the credit union, they won't call it a share account. They'll call it a savings account. Checking accounts that earn interest are actually called negotiable order of withdrawal accounts. But again, nobody calls them that. They call them checking accounts that earn interest. And at banks and credit unions, you can also get money market accounts. These are different than money market mutual funds, because the bank, the credit union, is guaranteed. But they work basically the same way. And we call them demand accounts since the funds are available upon demand. But legally, you walk into your credit union or your bank and you ask for your money, and they'll say, yep, we'll have it for you tomorrow. They can do that. Now, they're not going to do that. They're going to issue you a check or a cashier's check or whatever, or give you your money in cash, unless you ask for $170,000 in cash. And then they're going to say, excuse me, we can write you a check, but we don't have $170,000 lying around. If you want it in that much money, we're going to have to order it, and they're going to bring the armored car here, and you better be here ready to pick it up. And then they're going to call the FBI. Because they have to report all suspicious financial transactions.
Right. That's part of the Patriot Act, folks, believe it or not. And they can't tell you that they had to call the FBI. Yeah, your government at work.
These provide the highest level of liquidity and are usually guaranteed up to $250,000 by the government or government agency. So people say, they're so worried, but it's only $150,000 that they guarantee. Then go open up another one at another account, okay? At another bank, and you'll be fine. These are people who are worried about the government defaulting. It's not going to happen, folks. Maybe, you know, someday in 100 years from now, who knows what's going to happen. But no, the United States government is going to pay its debts, and you're going to get your money back from the bank or credit union. Now, what about savings bonds? You know, these are great for newborns. You probably have one sitting somewhere in some desk drawer. And if you do, it's time to pull it out and cash it in, because if you use it for tuition, you're not going to pay any federal income taxes. They use the accrual type of interest. Your aunt or your grandmother, when you were born, bought one for $50, and now it's worth $100. So you bring it down to your bank or wherever, and they will cash it in. So because it's a federal instrument, it's free from state and local taxes, so the state of California can't tax it. And as we said, if you use it for higher education, it's free from federal income taxes. So check them out. You probably have one sitting somewhere you didn't even know. It's time to cash it in and use it to pay tuition to Southwestern Community College. The federal government also offers the Series HH, which are being phased out. They can no longer purchase those. And the Series I, which are becoming popular with those who are concerned about the prospect for inflation. They are guaranteed to outpace inflation. That's why they call them Series I, inflation indexed. But you're not going to outpace it by much. Again, if you have a short-term time horizon, they're fine. If you have a long-term time horizon, there's that opportunity cost that you can do better going someplace else. Hint, hint, mutual funds, stocks, and bonds. Yes, that's okay. Later. And then Treasury bills. Treasury bills are the instruments that the federal government offers to anyone for short-term investments. And this is going to be your part of your assignment, is to research Treasury bills at treasurydirect.gov. They are sold on at the discount basis. You buy them for a certain amount, and say whatever, $990, and then 6 months later, you get $1,000 back. They come in 1 month, 3 month, and 6 month maturities, and they are generally regarded as the safest of all investments. In fact, remember the risk-free rate of return that we talked about? This is the benchmark. People will look at the three-month treasury bill return and say, the risk-free rate of return now is whatever the three-month treasury bill is paying. Because it's the federal government offering them, they are free from state and local income taxes. The states can't tax the feds can't tax the states. And you and I can purchase them directly from the treasury and get the exact same price that the big boys and girls on Wall Street get. And we're going to see that that's not true for the corporate paper and bankers' acceptance notes that we take a look at in a few slides later on. Why? Because they deal in millions of dollars for corporate paper and bankers' acceptance notes, whereas Treasury bills, they will welcome the small investor. If you're a small investor and you want to buy one corporate paper, well, they're denominated in $100,000 increments. So first of all, you have to have $100,000. And they don't want to just sell one. They want to know how many millions of dollars you need. So that pretty much precludes you or I buying into these things. But not so with Treasury bills. And that's why we're
very happy. You know, sometimes the United States government, when the government does stupid things, we love to point the finger and laugh at them and blame them. But when they do really cool things like treasurydirect.gov, we should give them kudos. We should praise them. And so we use them as an assignment. And it's also an excellent exercise in what it's like for you or I to go research a potential investment. We may decide we don't want to use them. We might decide we want to find another way to invest our short-term money. But the process in this case is more important than the outcome. So, let's continue. CDs. Certificates of deposits are offered at banks and credit unions, and they are, they're fancy savings accounts. I don't know why they call them certificates of deposits, but they're basically a savings account where you are locked in for a certain amount of time, anywhere from 7 days to 6 months to 2 to 5 years. And why do they do this? Well, if they know the money's going to be on deposit for a longer period of time, they're going to be able to offer you a higher interest rate. But what happens if you need your money sooner? Right, you're going to get slapped with a penalty for early withdrawal. They are insured to the same $250,000 per investor. So if you know you're not going to need this money for 6 months, you can say to your bank or credit union, yeah, I want a six-month CD, and you're going to pay me better than if I just put it into the savings account. Now, there are some CDs called broker CDs that are sold by brokerage firms, and they normally offer higher yields, sometimes much higher yields. And because they're brokered, they can also be turned around and sold. You don't have to wait until it matures. Are they still guaranteed? Yes, they're still guaranteed. But why? Why is the bank or the credit union using brokerage firms to sell their CDs? Well, they need money. they're trying to compete for your dollars. Remember, to them, that's their lifeblood. The money that they get from you and I depositing on the bank, that's what they use to lend out and make their money. So in this case, they are trying to raise money, and they're willing to pay a higher interest rate and even have to share some of that with the brokerage firm. Now, you have to be careful with CDs because they will usually roll over automatically if you do not redeem them. So say you had a six-month CD. There's usually a two-week period, a one-week period, where you come in and say, okay, I want my money back, and they'll put it into your savings account or your checking account. If not, they're going to roll it over for another 6 months. So make sure that you redeem it or specify that the proceeds be automatically rolled into your checking or savings account. Okay? And then some CDs have a few provisions that will allow you to bump up the interest rate if interest rates change. Yeah, it's kind of cute. Read what the companies or listen to what the companies are offering you. In fact, we have a little interview with a good friend of mine who is just enamored with CDs. She just loves CDs. And she's been recently disappointed by the returns that they've been giving. Rightfully so. And so you can listen to that interview with a dyed-in-the-wool short-term investor. Commercial paper. Now here's where we take a look at what the big boys and girls on Wall Street invest in. These are short-term unsecured promissory notes, sometimes just referred to as IOUs, that are issued by corporations with very high credit standings. So you're JCPenney's or Ford Motor Corporation, and you need a quick 90-day loan. Instead of going to the bank, you're large enough, you have a good enough reputation in the industry, that you can issue these 90-day, 180-day, 270-day maturity promissory notes. And by keeping the maturity less than 1 year, commercial paper does not need to be registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. As soon as you pass 1 year, now you're getting into the bond world. And that's a different world. It's more expensive to do business there, but it's for the longer term. This is for the short term, 90 days, 180 days. And as we said before, they're sold in $100,000 denominations. So are you and I going to be buying these things? Most likely not, right? So that is why when I ask you in the assignment to find out some quotes on commercial paper, excuse me, you're going to find that it's not very easy to do. Why? Because it's just not readily available to the general public, because the general public usually never touches this stuff. If you are investing in corporate paper, it usually means you have millions of dollars to park for the short term. So if you walk into a brokerage firm and ask about corporate paper, their eyes are going to light up and they're going to think, oh my goodness, this person's worth millions. And then when they find out that you're doing it for a assignment for an introduction to investing, they might not treat you that well all of a sudden. They might be a little more standoffish. But that is what the folks, the mutual fund companies, the pension funds, life insurance companies, when they need money in the short term, they go to the commercial paper market. Along with the commercial paper market are bankers' acceptance notes. These are issued by banks on behalf of companies. Now, usually these companies are nowhere near as large as they need to be to enter the commercial paper world. So they, you know, they're not a small enterprise by any stretch of the imagination. They might need $40 million or whatever to execute some kind of transaction over the next 6 months. But still, they can't go to the investment community and say, hey, you know, we're a small company based in wherever, and we're going to be doing this big job. So they go to their bank. They go to a major bank, and they say, we need this kind of loan. Can you swing it for us? So the bank will put their name on it, and they're the ones who are in trouble. If things go bad, then they have to go after the company. So the banker's acceptance notes work very similarly to corporate commercial paper. But because they're based on a bank, they usually don't pay as well. Yeah, don't worry. The bank gets paid very, very well for their efforts. They pay us less, and they charge the company that they did the business for more. You know, shorter maturities, usually 90 days or so. And again, the usual minimum denomination is $100,000. Slide 65, money market mutual funds. These were started back in the 1970s or so by money markets. And it's a very clever tool that they have at their disposal. There's been some controversy over the years because sometimes they do get in trouble, but for the most part, they're extremely conservative and have done very, very well for themselves and for their investors. The mutual fund pools the capital of a large number of investors and uses it to invest exclusively in short-term securities. So we're going to discuss mutual funds in detail in our next chapter. But these are mutual funds that are just for short-term securities. Virtually all brokerage firms, all mutual fund companies offer them. And they're not guaranteed, unlike money market deposit accounts from a bank or a credit union. But they're still considered virtually risk-free. If there is ever a default, the company itself or other companies will go to the federal government and say, oops, we goofed. will you let us take money out of our pockets and put it in the pockets of our investors? And the government invariably says yes, because they don't want anybody to think that these things are not safe. Their competitors don't want anybody to think that these things are not safe. And the last time this happened, it's called breaking the buck, by the way. If you want to research this, if you want to read about this, just type breaking the buck. It sounds silly, but you'll figure out what it means once you type it into any search engine. Was 2008 in the turmoil of the Great Recession. Two money market mutual funds broke the buck. They lost a penny. One lost a penny. One lost 3 pennies. Huh? That doesn't sound like a much, but it's not much. But it's still, it the whole world gets up and jumps up and down when this happens. And there was considerable panic. And who came in to the rescue this time? None other than the Federal Reserve Bank. The White Knight came to the rescue and said, "Don't worry, dear world, we will backstop any money market mutual funds for the next 6 months." And then after 6 months, this is September 2008, and then after 6 months, they said it again. They said, "We'll backstop them," meaning we'll make all their investors whole for another 6 months. And after a year, they realized that, you know, these things are not going to... It all went back to the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers. That's what triggered the loss of money. So if you're so inclined, do read about this, because it is quite a story. And they're also... The mutual fund companies make these things look kind of like checking accounts, right? And you can write checks, or you can easily transfer money to and from your checking account at your bank. So they're very, very flexible. They don't typically earn as much as a CD, but pretty darn close. Plus, you don't have to lock your money in for 6 months or 2 years. I like money market mutual funds for short-term investments. But remember, everyone's different. Now, what is your choice? Which short-term investment is for you? Well, as we said, commercial paper, banker's acceptance notes are only suitable for people with tons of money to invest. Savings bonds make cute gifts for newborns. Many investors will purchase treasury bills directly from the treasury. Very cool, and part of your assignment. And you know, CDs are okay, especially if you're sure you're not going to need the money until maturity. But personally, as I've already said, I like money market mutual funds, money market deposit accounts. Every bank, every credit union, brokerage firm, mutual fund company offers them, and they're very, very flexible. And what I've noticed is that non-investors, in other words, people who haven't taken Business 123 Introduction to Investments, will use savings accounts at a bank or a credit union. And they'll tell me how proud they are that they have $400,000 sitting in a savings account. And I try to say, but are you going to use the money anytime soon? Oh, no, that's for my retirement. And you have it in a savings account? That banker is licking his chops. That banker is doing somersaults, she is, I'll tell you. Yeah, because he's paying you much less, and they're turning around and in loaning it out at 18% using credit cards. Well, that's why when you grow up, you want to be a bank, dear students. Yeah. And if you can't be a bank, the next best thing is to be a banker. The industry needs you. Don't worry, I'll make my pitch for you joining our industry soon enough. Slide 67, the emergency fund debate. Should you have an emergency fund? Well, many financial experts now recommend that households create an emergency fund of 3, 6, or even 9 months of income. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with it. For some people, it's very important. Salespeople, self-employed, if you get laid off often, then yes, this is very important. But to keep $50,000 in a savings account earning 0.1%, hopefully you've at least gone out and find some places that are paying 1%, I don't think it's that smart an idea. I mean, you possibly will have credit card bills that are charging 18%, so pay them down. And you do have insurance, right? So we discussed this in more detail in Business 121, Financial Planning and Money Management. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to have a total of $28.36 saved up in your savings account or checking account. No. But as long as you have access to cash in an emergency via line of credit or credit cards, I don't think it makes sense to have this much money lying around. But everyone's different. And again, you better be insured. You better have adequate insurance. And you're not one of those people who have a job where it's either feast or famine. You know, salespeople, self-employed, they'll tell you, wow, it was great for a couple of years. The economy was doing well. And I thought this was going to be my salary. And then the recession hit or whatever downturn hit. And then it just dried up. Those people, they need a huge emergency fund. But for the vast majority of people, somebody who can get a job if they're laid off, I don't think so. But everyone's different. Slide number 68. So here we do a little bit of checking for comprehension, dear students. What are mutual funds that pool the capital of a large number of investors and use it to invest exclusively in short-term securities? So here in the face-to-face class, we have these little A, B, C, D cards that we throw up in the air. At San Diego State, they have a little button that they can press, and it shows up on the screen. We don't got that kind of money at Southwestern. And so if you printed these out, then you already know what the answer is. But if you're just doing through the presentation, what are these things? Mutual funds that pool the capital of a large number of investors and use it to invest exclusively in short-term securities. These are money market mutual funds. And they have their counterparts at banks and credit unions in the money market demand accounts. And, you know, they have rates that are close to CDs, but they don't have the early withdrawal penalty. So I like that feature personally. What are saving instruments in which funds must remain on deposit for a specified period of time? There is normally a penalty for early withdrawal. You know what these are. CDs, certificates of deposits. If interest rates are going down, for example, you can lock in a good rate for the next 2, 3, or more years, but you better hope that you do not need the money until the CD matures. And what happens if interest rates are rising? Well, you're kind of stuck. And that's why they often have this bump, this CD bump, that'll after a year or so you say, well, I've locked this thing in for 3 years and now interest rates have risen. The bank or the credit union will allow you to bump up your interest rate maybe once, maybe twice. Cute. And then, what are short-term unsecured promissory notes issued by corporations with very high credit standing, normally sold in $100,000 denominations? Right, commercial paper. Commercial paper and their cousins, bankers' acceptance notes, are normally only purchased by institutional investors such as money market mutual funds. Why? Because we don't have millions of dollars to invest in these things, and that's what you kind of need to do it. That's what they want, anyway. And lastly, what is a guaranteed demand account at a bank or credit union that normally pays little interest, but will often be offered with a toaster or waffle iron, which makes it all worthwhile? Right, a savings account. No comment. Yeah, whatever. And again, you are going to learn about investments, long-term, prudent investments, that are going to swamp these short-term investments. So that if you need your money in the short term, you know where to go. But we're going to now begin our discussion with our next chapter in long-term investments, in prudent long-term investments with an eye toward growth and income that should do well over the long term. So, what do you think, folks? Are you excited? Yeah, I hope so. I am. Go back over, make sure you understand the overview of the investment universe, the eternal struggle of risk and return, and short-term investments. And we'll see you in our next chapter, where things are going to start to get really exciting, when we begin the discussion of mutual funds, investments for the masses.